Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Have your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we kick off the 9 o'clock hour every Thursday with our good friends from the Southwood County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week. Kicking this off with us, our good friend Madison Rafter, the executive director over there. Madison, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
Melissa, she does have her headphones on. I didn't remember, though. Madison did.
Awesome.
So we appreciate you joining us, Madison. Let's go ahead and dive right in. Start things off with our Pet of the Week, our new furry friend, Doorknob.
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 What?
So, we have a cat named Doorknob. We like to get silly with names. It's kind of just one of those things. I think it was one of those days at the shelter where I was just blanking on names. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I was on the phone with a friend, and I was like, all right, I need a name. And she's looking at me. She's like, what? I was like, give me a cat name. They're like, I forgot you guys do the weird funny names.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you know what? Go for it. Doorknob. And I was like, Doorknob? Doorknob.
Doorknob.
So that's how Doorknob got the name.
Doorknob's awesome. Doorknob has a great look on his face. Just a very, very sweet looking cat.
He is. Doorknob is a domestic short hair. He is black, solid all black. He is neutered, up to date on vaccines and microchip. He is about a year old. Doorknob is just, he's one of those cats that is just, he wants to curl up in love. He's playful, but he's also just kind of a chill cat, and he's totally content just being like, you know what? I'm going to curl up in this lap, and this is what I'm going to do today.
Yeah, yeah. It's he's been neutered, got spayed,
yep.
All that?
Yep, he was neutered. He is up to date on vaccines of distemper and rabies, and then microchipped, flea and tick preventative, and basic deworming.
Mm. Year old, so yep. Not too old. So when it comes to that, habits and those kind of things, still forming those.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, too, especially since he did come in as a stray. The year old is an age estimate. We don't necessarily know that's 100% his age, just because we don't have a background knowledge on him. Any of our strays that come in the building, usually we will do a basic assessment. We look over their teeth, we look over over body condition, and that's usually how we determine their age, and then we have the vet confirm it. So with Doorknob, again, the year old is a gauge estimate, could be younger, could be a little older, but still one of those cats that he's still forming his personality, but again, he's just a little love bug and just wants to curl up and be somebody's slap cat.
You know, as a side story, I find it so interesting, your profession and what you have to do with this, when there's so much gray area you have to work around, and still being able to care for these animals that way. And there's the extension of that, too, where and Melissa, just I would have loved you to have been in studio today, because you would have just gotten such a kick out of this. Madison and I are talking about the animals at the shelter beforehand, and I'm just randomly bringing up different names, and she knows all the details of these animals. I find it amazing. I could barely remember what my fur brother looks like half the time, and she knows every single one of these animals inside and out. I find that really admirable and awesome, and maybe even just as important to our listeners, to us around here. It shows a level of caring that I don't think we completely get with shelter workers.
Yep. I mean, it's definitely something too with trying to know all the animals in the building. It's something that, you know, even if I don't know the entire background story, at least it's in our database system and I can look it up really quick. But it's something that at least if somebody walks through the door and, you know, like, they're like, you know what, I don't even want to go back there. I want to know what you got. These are my restrictions, and can you bring me a couple? So it's one of those things that sometimes people, we want to try to work with them the best that we can. So if it's something you don't want to walk back there because you don't want to take them all home, I don't blame you. But hey, let's go set
it's
you up.
It's too hard to choose.
Exactly. So hey, let's set you up. You tell me what you're looking for. I'll go pull you a couple animals, and then you don't have to look at all of them. So you don't have to have that hard decision choice. So
Madison's also really good at knowing matching animals to people. I know this for certain. She's very good at it. When it comes to busyness and things going on over at the shelter, I know that we're trying to get these dogs adopted because we've got to clear some space.
Yep. So as of December 1st, we are tearing up our dog room kennels. So it is something that we have to have all of our dogs out of the building. If you are interested in adopting, please share them. Even if it's something you can't adopt at this time, get the word out there. See if somebody's interested in a dog. If they can't be adopted by December 1st, we do have transfer partners that are willing to assist with us to take our dogs, so they will plan on transferring them out and they'll get adopted out through their facilities. But we are completely cut at surrenders. We're not able to take surrenders at this time. We still are taking our strays as normal. And again, if it is something you are interested in adopting a dog, we are running that coat drive at this time. So if you do bring in a gently used coat or a new coat, the adoption fee for dogs is completely waived.
That's nice. Amazing. That's such a cool thing to offer, and a win-win for our community, for everybody.
Yep.
Getting some coats out there to some people that need them and getting these dogs to a great home.
Yeah, it's definitely something, especially being a nonprofit. We like to help other nonprofits. Mm. So it's kind of a helping one nonprofit out for another nonprofit. So
yeah.
It's something
great
that we think is a really good idea, because we didn't just want to wave. We wanted to do something that was going to also help benefit our community that we could also give back to.
I don't ever like to keep you too long, Madison, but we have been talking about this a little bit, about this project going on with the dog rooms and everything. It's got, I imagine, going to be a kind of an exciting thing. It's such a stressful gig. Every day there's a new challenges and new things and new animals. This seems like an exciting thing for the shelter, for these dogs.
Yes, it's definitely something we've needed for a very long time, and we're very excited about our kennel renovations. We're going up from 28 kennels to 36 kennels. Mm. That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that we are adding to our capacity.
Yeah.
So usually our capacity is 28 dogs, and that's what we can handle at one given point. With us adding the extra kennels, it's not necessarily for the purpose of, oh, we're adding it, so we're moving our capacity to 36. Mm-hmm. Sure, we can handle 36, but we're not necessarily providing the proper care. It's more for the aspect of spacing needs. So when we do have dogs that are not good with other dogs, or we have a really shy, shut-down dog that has a behavior problem, or medical animals that we need to isolate, it's more kennel space that we're able to move people around, or move animals around, in the aspect that it's going to be better for their well-being as well.
Yeah.
We know
separation.
Yep.
Yeah. And these are things that I don't think your average person looking on the outside picks up on this stuff, or even thinks of those things. It's really helpful and insightful for our audience, for us to know those kind of things. Gives us not only a little more empathy, but a little more understanding, and hopefully gets people to care a little bit more, maybe drop things off. It is always kitten season. Is that correct, Madison?
Yes.
Is that
yes, it is.
So that means we need kitten stuff.
Yes, we do. Kitten food, kitten litter, cat litter. Same thing.
Yeah.
We are always in need of anything for our cats as well as our dogs. It's just kind of one of those years that where kitten season is just continuing to keep dragging along.
Yeah, just keep next calendar, next month, just keep continuing it.
I think we just got 10 more in last week, so yeah.
Oh my.
They keep coming.
I thought it was rabbits that did that. I thought, no, it's cats too, apparently.
Yeah,
a booming year for cats.
It is a booming year. We encourage you to reach out to Madison about all these furry friends. Find out more about them at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com, and be sure to reach out and find out about Doorknob. Doorknob is our pet of the week. I love it. I want to say, too, really quick, part of the reason, because I couldn't decide between Everest and Doorknob. They both look really cool. They're both great cats. All of them are. But Doorknob is a black cat. And you and I have talked about this before, about black animals, black cats, black dogs, the need to get them adopted. And unfortunately, it's 2023. We still have people that have this ridiculous notion that a different furred animal is going to give you more luck or less luck than another one.
Yeah.
And as silly as that may sound, it actually has a very real effect on shelters, because these tend to be the animals that do not get adopted, and they're amazing, sweet, wonderful animals like Doorknob.
Yep, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, we've got four litters of black kittens right now that are sitting up growing in the shelter right now. So I've got Michael and Jason. They were back to us in October, and they're still sitting here, and they're closer to 5-6 months now when they came in at 2 months. I've got another litter of four black kittens that are still sitting there. So yes, it is still that stereotype of sometimes it's people think that the black cats are bad luck. In my opinion, I don't think that's the most far thing from it. Cats can be just most sweetest cats in the world. So
Also it blends in the fur with all your black clothes.
Exactly.
How many people have majority black pants in their wardrobe? Come on.
nice, Melissa. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's a great one. That's a great addition to this. Nicely done. Get Doorknob, and that way you don't notice the fur as much. A wonderful cat. Be sure to check out Doorknob and plenty more. Madison, if people have follow-up questions, if there's businesses or people out there that would like to work with the Humane Society, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can contact us at the shelter at 715-423-0505. Otherwise, they can shoot us an email at swchs@swchs.com.
Anytime during the breaks when I need a palate cleanser or something, I just pull up your website and take a look at all these wonderful animals. Encourage everybody to do that. Again, the website, swchs.com. Be sure to follow our Humane Society on all their social media accounts. It's a great follow. Always good hanging out with you. Thanks, Madison.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody.
Mambo number 5 playing us in. I apologize to everybody that didn't hear Mambo's 1 through 4. Probably doesn't make a lot of sense. Probably you can't make, you know, you can't understand Mambo number 5 if you haven't listened to Mambo's 1 through 4. It's very
but
difficult.
But you want to get up and dance anyway.
Yeah, it is one of those beats. You do mm-hmm. find yourself moving even if you've heard the song a billion times. You do kind of move to it. A big shout out to our friend Madison Rafter from the Southland County Maine Society joining us. Always appreciate Madison's time and information and insight, and most of all that heart that she has for this area and for these animals. We appreciate her. Find out more about Doorknob.
Find out how much a shelter cat can enrich your life.
Yeah.
Kevin will tell you. He's on my lap right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kevin will give you all the information you want to know about that. He loves talking. Kevin's a talker. We appreciate that, Madison. Find out more at swchs.com, swchs.com. We dive into some entertainment news. One of the biggest names in comedy over the last 20 years, Kevin Hart, is being awarded. He is being, I would say, as close as a comedian comes to wanting an award or appreciating an award, because I've been talking with comedians and not only acting comics, but, you know, actual stand-up comedians for a long time about this. And of all the industries that laugh at awards, nobody laughs at awards more than comedians.
Just kind of fitting.
It really is. But the idea that I'm funnier than so-and-so to them, while it is a very, very, very competitive business.
Competitive. Mm-hmm.
The idea that this joke is funnier than this joke doesn't make a lot of sense. And to give an award for comedy is kind of the opposite of comedy. It's kind of the opposite of what most comedians do, what they're trying to do. And that kind of thing.
Because not everybody is going to find every joke funny.
Yeah.
And it will strike somebody differently than, you know, depending on their life experience and their backgrounds.
I will say, though, I've never heard of anybody ever wanting to turn down. And then the only award I've heard them ever talk about highly is the Mark Twain Prize Award for American Humor.
Hmm.
And Kevin Hart will be the 25th recipient of the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor.
Wow.
He'll be awarded during a ceremony at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. on March 24th. He says,
that's
quote,
awesome.
Yeah, it really is. He says, quote, I've been doing comedy since the inception of this award 25 years ago. To be honored in this commemorative year feels surreal. Comedy is my outlet for social commentary and observations on life. I am grateful to the Kennedy Center for recognizing my voice and impact on culture. I want to celebrate. Past recipients include Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Steve Martin, Whoopi Goldberg, Jon Stewart, Dave Chappelle, Adam Sandler, and of course, the inaugural prize winner, Richard Pryor.
Wow.
To be in that list,
yeah.
Man,
yeah, that's a pretty awesome list.
Yeah, I can't think, like, there's one or two awards in maybe 3 or 4 awards in the world that if I won them, I don't know if I'd ever leave. They'd ever leave my side. Like, if I ever win a Nobel Prize, I'm never leaving that. Like, that thing's mm-hmm. with me everywhere. I'm getting, like, a satchel just to carry it around. James,
it's
what's
called
in that
a merce.
Yeah, okay.
It's called a merce.
Whatever they want to call it, it's called my best friend now. It's called... James, why are you wearing that merce? Why are they... Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's my Nobel Prize. And this is one of them, the Mark Twain Award for comedy. Like, that's one of those ones that just stands out. Not only because of obviously what Mark Twain means to entertainment, not just literature, but to entertainment. How many mm-hmm. people were influenced? How many people, their first books they read were Mark Twain books or anything? His quotes that have gone on to, you know, people have built personalities around his quotes in
yes.
these things. And really one of our first smart writers. I don't think that Mark Twain gets enough credit for that. A lot of authors back in the day, especially around the time of Twain, were kind of writing down to people. They were told by publishers to write simple stories, write stories without complex characters and not a lot of characters. And Mark Twain kind of went the other direction, kind of worked out for him. By the way, does that sound familiar to anybody? When we're talking about the movie industry in the last 20 years and everything, and how most producers are, no, that we can't do smart, complex stories. People don't want that. They can't understand that. We got to do more remakes, more prequels, more, you know. That doing anything different?
Yeah. No. But you know what? People like options. Sometimes you want an easy read that is going to be not a thinker. And sometimes you do. I mean, everybody has these ebbs and flows with the type of entertainment they want. So I think we need the need for both. But you're right. His books really, they make you think. And they're adventure, which is a lot of, you know, that's fun.
Yeah. I reach out to every producer, every person out there when it comes to these things. And even in casting auditions, I do this. You know, push boundaries. Challenge the public, challenge audiences. They can handle it. The American people can handle it. The world audience can handle it. Give us something to think about. We'll do it. You know, I mean, give us things to. You're absolutely right. We want explosions sometimes. Last night, I couldn't sleep. I wanted something on that I didn't have to think about. I threw on an action movie. Like, you know, I mean, that's what you do sometimes.
You don't really have to have the nuanced story. It's not like a suspense or a thriller. It's just.
Yeah, but
explosions.
It's not as if, when a person wants that kind of thing, they can't handle it. That's where a lot of these studios are coming from right now, where they think that people just can't handle it. It's not that they don't want it. It's that they can't handle it. And that part is, I find, very insulting.
And that's the wrong mindset.
Yeah, yeah. Giving people what they want is the business. I get that part, But the idea that the thinking
that they
for
only
others,
want that one thing because they can't handle anything else. No, incorrect thinking.
So the Eras tour that Taylor Swift has going on right now, one of the biggest tours of all time. a lot of people excited, a lot of people still attending, people enjoying it. Say you went and you saw the Eras tour live, then you went to the Eras tour movie multiple times. You bought 15 different versions of the Midnight stuff and the her albums and all this. You got a Kansas City Chiefs jersey. You are a big Taylor Swift fan, and you still don't have enough of Taylor in your life. Well, this one might be for you. Royal Caribbean has a Taylor Swift cruise setting sail in next October.
Oh, wow.
It leaves from Miami one day after Taylor finishes her 3-night run of shows in the city. It's called My Cruise Era, and the official website says, quote, join us as we celebrate all things Taylor, make new friends, dress up in our favorite eras, trade friendship bracelets, and enjoy everything this amazing ship has to offer. The cruise is for all fans, so bring your bestie, your mom, your dad, your baby fans, and all the above. FYI, this tour is not endorsed or affiliated with Taylor. Taylor will not be anywhere near this boat or this cruise. So, who is the biggest Taylor Swift fan in the world? 16-year-old kids, right? You know, that's her audience. It's not to say that she doesn't have a huge fan base of older people or anything like that. Obviously, she does. And she's got one of the more wider fan bases there is as far as ages go. But her, you know, even from her own mouth, she has said that, you know, that's her main fan base. That's who most people that enjoy her music tend to be in the young teenage years. How many of them going on cruises?
Well, only with their parents, typically. But.
Suppose. It just feels like it feels like really missing the mark, like a real reach. Even if she wasn't going to be on it, had her company endorsed it, I think it might be a different story. But it just feels like
different, right?
Feels like such a desperate money grab. Like, you know, when she doesn't even have anything involved with this, we don't even know.
How can they legally do that?
I was just going to say, like, they're even like trying to hedge their bets here a little bit because they don't even, like, it's almost as if in the advertisements, you can tell that the lawyers are like hanging over the advertiser's shoulders, like, You just hold on. Just I don't know. Like, can we just call it the Taylor tour? Like, you know, or something. The young blonde woman tour. Like, they're just trying to find the most generic way to like do this. I don't know. I'm very curious how this is going to go legally as well, Melissa.
Yeah, yeah, that's my question.
I will.
I had to look at her dates where she's going to be all over the world, but America. She's going to be in Brazil, Japan, Australia, Singapore, France, Stockholm, Sweden, Lisbon, Spain. But I don't see any, and then the UK. I'm not seeing the US for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And we have, if we hadn't done this with the Dog Channel ages ago, back when there was a lot more satellite TV and everything, and the Dog Channel launched, we officially have a channel for everything. I think it's finally, we can finally say this on November 16th, 2023 at 9:27. We officially have a channel for everything. America, Pluto TV has just launched a 24/7 car chase channel.
Car chase channel.
And the creative geniuses over at Pluto came up with the greatest of names: Car Chase.
So inventive.
The channel will include live feeds of real-time car chases plus on-demand video of chases from local news stations from around the country. Oh, what could go wrong? According to Pluto, the channel allows you to, quote, watch adrenaline-fueled car chases and high-speed drama 24/7, including live coverage of real-time chases, where, I don't know, you know, it's not like accidents ever happen, or there's not lives on the line, or not our police forces actually, you know, risking their lives to bring down these knuckleheads. Let's go ahead and make a buck off it for advertisers.
Yeah.
What could go wrong? It's not as if there's not life and death on the line here that could be on live television for people to see, and who knows, maybe even young people to see. The great idea, Pluto. Way to really push the envelope creatively. What creative geniuses over at Pluto? this is the low-hanging fruit I'm talking about. That the only reason they get away with this stuff is because people watch it. If you don't watch it, they won't do it. They will lose their advertising dollars. People will lose their jobs, which they should if they came up with things like this, and so on. Now, I'm not in favor of people losing their jobs, but I am in favor of people doing their jobs. And if you're not going to do your job, get somebody in there that can. This is low-hanging fruit. Any 5-year-old could have come up with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. Not only is it not good entertainment. Not only is it. First off, NASCAR did this a long time ago. Okay, they've got this down. But this is. It's dangerous to me. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I am not the person to yell. Sky is falling every 5 seconds. I feel like my. I've been doing this a long time on the air. I think you guys have heard me long enough. I don't do that. This is not right.
No, we know high speed chases cause accidents. They put our officers in danger. They put everyday pedestrians in danger, other drivers on the roads. And how many times have we seen this happen in our own area here recently? To promote it is the opposite of what should be done.
You can look at the stats. You're a search engine away from looking at the stats of how many police officers we lose. We lose thousands a year.
No.
Real quickly pulling up a report from 1985, over 1,500 police officers we lost because of car chases. Like I make fun of this all the time. The one of the dumbest things you can do with a vehicle is a car chase.
Right.
First off, nobody has ever in human history gotten away. Nobody. Now, end of list. This is the equivalent of trying to rob the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Do you know the greatest getaway in Las Vegas history when it comes to bank robberies, Melissa? You know how far they got? I believe it's 3.5 feet out of the MGM before they were taken down. That is the farthest anybody has ever gotten as far as like ripping off a casino in Vegas. Not even 5 feet. That's as far as anybody's ever gotten. It's the same thing with car chases. When's the last time you ever, and they got away, and they were never caught again? Like, there's cameras.
Only in movies.
It does not happen. You're caught. You see those purple and red lights. pull over. Game is over. You are done. You are caught. You are not getting away from this. There is no scenario where you're getting away with this.
No, and you're only going to add more charges to your already stupid rap list.
And now,
because it's going to, you're going to hurt somebody.
And now we've got a TV channel taking advertising dollars and trying to make money off of this. By the way, it's not as if any of the footage or any of these like police departments or anything like that are going to get any of this money that they're going to make off of this.
No.
Yeah. So there's not even that part of it that we can say, well, at least that they're taking those advertising dollars and putting it into police funds and these kings, maybe a retirement fund or a canine fund or something. If they were doing something like that, I still would be saying everything I'm saying, but I would at least be adding, well, there's at least this. They're not even doing that.
No, I would just recommend if people want to watch car chases, watch video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Play Need for Speed.
Man, pull up.
I love doing that. I like racing. That's one of my favorite video games.
I'm with you. I'm with you on this. Need for Speed is such a good game. It's a fun game.
And you can... And how far have we come from the DOS game where the most exciting thing you could do was turn on the windshield wipers to get the bug splats off?
She ain't kidding, everybody. That was the best part of the game.
It was. It would start to rain, and you're like, oh, I can turn on the windshield wipers.
Yep.
Oh, I can't see the road anymore or anything else, but...
I will sit there, and I haven't played in a long time, but I would sit there for at least like 20 minutes just picking out my engine and what style, what color, what vehicle.
Right, the color, which tires. Yeah. And they weren't, to be fair, all that different from each other, but...
No. But this is the point of video games. And this is why we have video games and we don't do this in real life. You know,
exactly.
There's a difference.
And it's an important difference. It saves lives.
Don't watch. That's all you got to do, people. If you're tired of this kind of entertainment, if you're tired of these kind of movies, if you're tired of any of this kind of stuff,
if you care about our police force, if you care about cops, if you really want to back the blue, don't do it.
Yep. We're going to get to state and local news right now. When we come back, we're talking mashed potatoes.
Your favorite topic.
What type of potato makes the best mashed potatoes? That's coming up with Seth. I almost said Seth and
Seth
Melissa.
Is stepping in for James because he can't stand potatoes unless they're French fries.
I called it. I called up a pitch hitter. Called up a pitch hitter. Seth will be.
He's probably not even there.
Not even here. We'll be back with more with Melissa and James coming up on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. Happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Just realized it's Thursday. Just realized.
Sinking in.
If you're in charge of the mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving, you might have strong opinions about this. What's the best type of potato to use? Someone talked to a bunch of chefs, and it depends on what texture you prefer. Here are the four types of mashed potatoes and which potato to use for each one. And we'll retort after this, Melissa. We'll figure. And this is coming to us from the Huffington Post. If you're curious about the article, you can find it at HuffingtonPost.com. Mm-hmm. So, light and fluffy. Use russet potatoes. The same type you'd use for a baked potato. They're starchier than other options, and they tend to add more stuff. Just don't over mash them, or they can get too sticky.
Don't want sticky potatoes. Mm.
Thick and creamy. Use Yukon Gold.
Oh, yep, they're a little more yellow.
They are smoother and have a buttery texture. They also absorb less water than russet, so there's less of a chance you'll get runny or mushy if you mess them something up.
Okay.
About light and fluffy. Those that like life and light and fluffy out there, but also creamy.
A combination of the two.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Use a mix of the two. Yes. And they say that's allowed. Try a 2-to-1 ratio with more Yukon than russet.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. I think it's funny.
I love that it did. That's great. I don't get the joke. Okay. I'm going to be honest with the audience. I don't know what I'm talking about here. I have no idea. I might as well be explaining to you like geometry or something. I have no idea. Want to avoid all the peeling? Red potatoes are the best. The peels should basically fall off there after they're boiled, or just leave them on and they do more of a smashed potato thing instead of mashed, smashed potato thing.
You can just have the skins in there with your mashed potatoes. Some people don't like that, though.
I do believe that that's the way the Hulk makes mashed potatoes. So if you are going to be with Bruce Banner for the Thanksgiving...
Well, you're having a Marvel Thanksgiving,
yes,
then sure.
Get ready for smashed potatoes. That's the only kind he makes. That's the only kind. I don't know, Melissa. I got nothing on this one, I'm being honest. But I did think that it was interesting. It did seem very interesting to me. Is this kind of like common knowledge, or is it, you know, does this actually, some of this, like, do you think some people can use this information?
I would think so. And really, those are the only three kinds of potatoes you can buy in most of our stores.
Okay.
Because I had to look up types of potatoes just, you know, to prepare for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that there's purple potatoes?
No, I had no idea.
Vitaletta. And then Russian blue potatoes. So there's two different kinds like that. There's a Laura potato.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Which just looks like a giant baby red.
Oh.
And then King Edward potato, Melody potato, Duke of York. I'm guessing those ones are in the UK.
So
there's a lot. I would say the only other kinds that we really find, at least that I find in my grocery store, are like fingerling potatoes, which are just little ones that you would not want to use for mashed potatoes, because that's a lot of peeling and putziness. You want a good big size potato. My mom always got russets.
Okay.
I never had Yukon Gold until I was an adult.
Mm.
I appreciated the difference.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask, is there a large difference? Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I would say if you the two different options of having something that's a little more creamy versus light and fluffy.
Mm.
But it is all about the preparation. You know, boiling for the correct amount of time and then mashing them properly. If you use a potato masher, like, you know, the old-fashioned out of your kitchen drawer potato masher, you're going to have some lumps. My mom always preferred to use a blender, like the hand mixer.
Okay.
But then they sometimes get over mixed. You have to be careful with that. And then they get sticky, as they said. It's all about personal preference.
Melissa, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay. And I hope most of our listeners out there are sitting down. I looked up this purple potato. Looks good to me.
Seriously.
It looks
good. You try it.
I would try it. It looks
good. Why? Just because it's a different color?
I guess. I don't know. I can't tell you what it is about it, but I'm looking at pictures of it right now, and it looks actually kind of intriguing. It looks kind of interesting to me. It looks good. I don't know. I didn't expect that. I'm being very, in the moment, very honest about this. Maybe there's a little to this about it, too. So my family and I, we're going through a lot right now, blah, blah, blah. My mom and dad and I decided, you know what, we're going to hunker down. It's going to be the three of us for Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate it together. And we've got some things tied to that and everything. But the three of us basically getting together for Thanksgiving. What we were originally going to do was just like order something, like just get some food, you know, so that my mom didn't have to cook or anything like that. We were having dinner yesterday together. My mom made French toast. I was late and I didn't care because I had the French toast. We are sitting there talking, and my mom says, we change our mind. We're going to get a turkey leg or something like that. I don't know, a turkey hawk or something. And I looked
Part
at
of a turkey.
Yeah, and I looked at it. I was like, I thought that we were just going to order and stuff. Nobody likes turkey. My mom looks at me, Jimmy, I love turkey.
You don't like turkey, Jimmy.
Yeah, I felt like 1 foot tall. I felt so tidy. So I immediately, with the Jewish guilt flowing over me and everything, I immediately respond with, "Well, I'll eat some mashed potatoes." It had no context. There was no context. There's no, I'll eat mashed potatoes.
I'm sorry, I forgot you like turkey. I'll eat mashed potatoes to make up for it.
I have signed up to eat. I'm going to put a big filling of mashed potatoes on my plate, and I'm going to eat some mashed potatoes this year.
There you go.
I don't know what kind they will be. I don't know what, you know, thick and creamy. Or
I doubt they'll be purple.
Yeah.
But you never know.
We'll see. We'll see if I can talk that into the menu.
I mean, these originate out of Peru.
Yeah.
These purple potatoes.
Probably going to be pretty hard to come by. Probably pretty tough to get. We will take a break, though, and we'll come back and have some more fun. But let's keep the potato thing going. You know, anybody want to call up now or any of our shows right up until Thanksgiving, I would say. We'd love to hear, you know, some of your techniques or things that you know, tips that you might have for Thanksgiving dinner. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear them.
Yeah, James has heard them all. But if you have a potato recipe you think he'd like.
Yeah. Oh, please do. That's a good idea. Hit us up, everybody. 715-424-2600. Join the conversation anytime. We are live and direct on the air. Melissa and I will be back with more fun to wrap up the show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
People say I'm crazy.
Melissa and James here with you, hanging out, getting you ready for the rest of your day. Thanks so much for joining us. Serious comedy to start your day. We appreciate you being here. Get some good stories of the day real quick, but we got to get this That Ain't Right story in. Some people don't like going to their to the weddings of people they know, but this woman...
Seth.
This woman enjoys going to weddings of people she doesn't know so she can rob them.
That's the worst term, a wedding crasher.
Yeah. A 57-year-old woman, named Sandra, just pleaded guilty to larceny, trespassing, and disturbing the peace after crashing a wedding in September and stealing from the people. But it isn't her first rodeo. She's been walking into strangers' weddings receptions for the last 6 years in three different states, Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi, and stealing from bride, groom, and their guests.
Wow.
Yeah. You talk about That Ain't Right things.
That's a That Ain't Right story for sure. Glad they got her. Glad she's been busted.
Now, this is one of those things. Now, I would think that, it's a wedding. I mean, it gets busy, but how does a person just come in and out, bop in and out, and not get noticed? They're calling her online Nosy Aunt Carol, and there is a mugshot of her going around. And this woman looks like basically an average 57-year-old white woman. Like, she just, you know, looks very, she looks like she could be related to either Melissa or my family, just to give you a broad range of kind of like, you know, different.
So nondescript.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's got that, you know, kind of in her wheelhouse, I suppose, and she just kind of leaned into it. But so I've mentioned this before. Our old partner around here, Carl Hilke, used to say, "Are these any right stories?" Every once in a while, there should be a stupid enhancer to that. That, you know, there should be for you get 5 to 10 for something, and then add on 2 more years because you're a knucklehead. That kind of thing. This isn't so much the stupid part of that ain't right as it is this that ain't that's wrong. There's the punishment that needs to be in place, and then there's kind of like a slapping on the wrists of just like, no, you don't do that. It's wrong.
Naughty.
Yeah.
It's naughty.
Well, when you act like a child, I feel like sometimes along with the sentence should be a little bit of like child punishment too. Like, and no TV and no, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Community service.
That ain't right. That ain't right. The people did get the majority of their things back, and it is a reminder that you can insure weddings. You can do those
things. But over the course of 6 years? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
And she just go in and steal money and cards from purses?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Just a real. I mean, it doesn't feel. It feels like it was less about the actual things she was stealing and more about like this was something that she did. Like this was her.
Right. Like, this was her thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Need a pal.
You know, some people take up side jobs to make spending money.
Yeah. Yeah.
She just wedding crashed.
Yeah. There's no end game for that one. That only ends one way.
It's called jail.
Yep. Yep. So I guess if you don't want to have to worry about where, you're going to stay, paying rent, things like that, then maybe this is a good plan for you. I don't know. Doesn't seem like a good plan. Need a palate cleanser, though. We need palate cleansers bad. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you one today from 3 to 4 during Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us. We kick it off at 3 o'clock with our friends from Visit Rome, and a big thank you to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank for that. We'll talk with...
Yeah, they have such a big lineup of stuff coming up there.
You ain't kidding. Melissa, just looking at their list that they send ahead to us and everything that Lisa and Jillian do, and we send a good thank you to them. Christmas cookie decorating, got that coming up. Children's story time at the Leicester Public Library, their 5K turkey trot. There's plenty to talk about with them. We'll be doing that at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then at 3:30, our great friend Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension Madison Wood County, going to be with us.
Excellent.
We're talking 4-H with Laura, and we're talking the benefits of 4-H and many experiences and reasons we encourage kids and families to be a part of 4-H.
Mm-hmm. That's a great program.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. Be sure to stick around at 6:05 right here at WFHR. We'll have the Greg Gard Show. Looking forward to what Coach has to say. And you can catch some basketball right after that. 6:55, our pregame kicks off in WIRI 105.5. Assumption Girls Basketball hosting Newman Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
Randy Paul on the call, y'all. Michael going to be on that one.
Great b-ball.
Yes. Looking forward to that and looking forward to following along our Assumption Royals all season long. And looking locally here in town, we've got a really special night going on in town tonight, the 2023 MVP Award Celebration. This is going on today. It'll be happening over at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. So go ahead and check it out over there. Paul, our good friend Paul Peckman, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, is going to be one of the nominees, along with John Kronemacher, Brian Wendt, Bob Burkhauser, all people who have joined us on these airwaves before, all locals and all wonderful human beings.
Yeah, get over there and see who wins.
$15 a person, payable with cash or check at the door. And it is going to be a great time. You can find out more at marketing@visitwisrapids.com. That marketing@visitwisrapids.com. And go ahead and support our locals and check out this event. Friends Feeding Friends. All are welcome to the community meal. This is a free community meal going on to the Seventh Day Advent Church at 611 24th Street North, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. This is coming up on this Sunday. So it'll be going on this Sunday. Doors open at 3. Serving will be from 4 to 6. Again, all are welcome to the Friends Feeding Friends community meal. This is a free community meal going on at the Seventh Day Adventist Church, 611 24th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. Doors open at 3. Serving goes from 4 to 6.
There you go.
And for many, watching the holiday classic movie Elf, I know him! It's been a heartwarming tradition for over 20 years.
20 years?
That's incredible.
Really?
I didn't realize it's
and
been
I
that long.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. That's a good one, though.
I'm not a huge Will Ferrell, fan, so I don't go out of my way to watch his movies.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I guess, it's good. I should probably try to watch it one of these times.
I think of all the Will Ferrell movies that I would say to somebody that, just said something like that. And you're not the first person I've heard say that. I've heard a lot of people, and I shouldn't say a lot, but I've heard quite a few people say that. I think Elf is the one that I recommend. I think Elf is the one that I feel like, even it's Will Ferrell, but it's not, your traditional Will Ferrell. He really is acting in this one. He really is kind of like trying to play a character and
really
stuff.
He really is
and
acting.
Just a lot of his roles are kind of like, he's just being Will. He's just being that crazy guy that can go from 0 to 100 like few can, This one, he really does try to play this character. And I think that's a pretty good job. The thing that I think that can bring people to this movie is the cast. Even if you don't like Will Ferrell, Zooey Deschanel, James Caan, Bob Newhart, there's so many great actors and cast members in it. It's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to each their own, of course. So more importantly, though, the Red Cross has noticed this. And this November, the Red Cross is encouraging people to add a new tradition to the holiday season, spread cheer with a blood or a platelet donation. Thank you. Platelet donation. To celebrate the 20th anniversary of the film Elf and create holiday cheer, all who come to give November 10th through the 30th will receive an exclusive pair of Elf Red Cross socks.
Oh, nice. Yep. That's cute.
I want to donate anyway, but I'd really want to get those socks.
Well, yeah, because you got a sock thing. So
This is in my wheelhouse.
Need this
here
for your collection.
We've got plenty of opportunities for you to donate. I see that over at the Mosinee Brewing Company on the 24th, you can from noon to 5. Mm-hmm. Then on the 28th of this month, from 10 to 3, over at the Woodson YMCA, you can donate over there. Plenty of opportunities, and we're going to tell you about
more. Yeah, if you go to redclossblood.org, you can look for the one closest to you.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And go donate there.
We've got opportunities in Marshfield and Port Edwards we'll tell you about as we get closer to them. Going on today in Port Edwards from noon to 5 at Trinity Lutheran Church at 990 3rd Street. You can donate.
There you go.
So plenty of opportunities. Give if you can, and we greatly appreciate everybody out there that does.
Mm-hmm.
A pilot named Jeff Fell. Just let that sit there for a second.
So wait, is there a comma in that sentence?
Yeah, no comma. A pilot with the real name Jeff Fell is going viral after giving his retirement speech on a flight from Charlotte to Chicago last week.
Okay.
He'd flown for American Airlines for 32 years, and it was the final flight of his career.
Wow.
He gets choked up about a minute into the video when he reveals his family is on board to help see him off. It's just a cool video. It's fun to see. And I couldn't get past a pilot named Jeff Fell. If you're on a flight and, hello, I'm your pilot, Jeff Fell. Like, oh, wait a minute. That's pretty good.
I'm Pilot Fell.
Finally, our final story of the day. A 15-year-old in Canada named Alden Maxwell is on the spectrum and owns a crazy world record for stacking Jenga blocks.
Ooh.
1,840 of them on one vertical block at the bottom.
Oh, my goodness.
And how cool is this? He just got his own Hallmark movie.
Oh.
It's called A World Record Christmas, and they based it on him. It premieres tonight on the Hallmark Movie and Mysteries channel.
Oh, cute.
I mean, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
That's heartwarming.
Yeah, that is.
And that's what Hallmark movies are about.
Yeah. Yeah, I make fun of them and I joke about them and everything, but to each their own.
Yes, but obviously, there's a lot of people that love them because they're doing just fine.
Yeah, it don't let people like me ruin your movies or anything like that. Don't let
love
Grinches,
what you love.
Yes, love what you love. and I thought that's a great story to wrap up on, as today is Guinness World Records Day and everything. So that's a good story and a Guinness World Record.
Nicely done.
As a nicely done performance by you today, Melissa, thank you so much.
Always fun to be on the show with you, James.
We're looking forward to getting you ready for the weekend tomorrow. We'll bring Seth in on this one, and we'll have some fun. You guys be good to each other. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here on You Take This One.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.